Welcome to the Minister's Mantle Teaching Library of Pastor Jay Eberle. This message is designed to impart a spirit of faith into your spirit and prepare you to flow skillfully with the ministry mantle God has for you in these end times. Here's Pastor Jay.
I want to go, if you brought your Bible this evening, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And just reading verse number 2, he said this. Before we read that, let me say, I have been, since the beginning of the year, kind of at the end of the last few, maybe last week or so, at the end of last year and beginning of this year, I have had a stirring in me, just a lot of things. But one of the things that's sort of kind of at the forefront of it is the subject of the honor of God. And I don't mean, I mean what Jesus said in John 5:44. He said, how can you believe which seek honor one from another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? There's an honor that men pass around. It's an honor game. You know, you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Right. It's of the flesh.
Right.
Yeah. It's carnal. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But there's an honor that doesn't come from any man. That is better than any man can give. And it's the honor that comes from God. And Jesus said he sought that. And that's been stirring in me and stirring in me. I seek the honor that comes from God. The promotion, the anointing, the whatever that means. And there's we don't have time to get into it tonight. But with that in mind, I've been stirred about honor. And, you know, I just don't think we can hear enough about it, to be honest with you. I've discovered this. There's more than one handle on the supernatural. In other words, that you can get a hold of the supernatural with. There's more than one, you know, like a handle on something. There's more than one. We know the faith handle. We get a hold of spiritual things, moves of the Spirit, you know, miracles, this era, so forth. We get a hold of the handle called the handle of faith. And we know there's the handle of obedience. Pastor Nancy preaches sometimes on Jesus there in John 2, or Mary saying about Jesus, whatever he says to do it. We know there's a handle of obedience. There's different things that are keys to the supernatural, but this honor is a huge key to the supernatural.
Yes.
Brother Hagin has been quoted as having said that the key to a greater move and manifestation of the Spirit in the miraculous power of God is reverence and honor. And he said the key to that increasing is reverence and honor. Well, that's what we're hungry for. That was a good chance to say amen.
Amen.
That's what we're hungry for.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so I'm just going to dig around in this a little bit tonight. You can kind of dig around it with me and see where we go. How's that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so what Brother Hagin's talking about is when he talks about honor, he's talking about the reverencing God and honoring the move of the Spirit, honoring the what God wants to do. And, you know, he's basically like you and I. He doesn't necessarily want to be around whenever he's not welcomed, when he's not received. Hallelujah. He doesn't manifest where he's not invited. Hallelujah. With God, I've learned this about the Spirit of God, the move of God. With God, intervention without invitation is interference. He's not interested in pushing his way against somebody's will into something. He lets us have what we want. He lets us have the degree of his power and movement and manifestation that we want. And so in reverencing and honoring the Holy Spirit, there are things about reverence and honor that we've got a hold of to a degree. I'm so thankful for the teaching Pastor Nancy has done on it, Dr. Dufresne. I mean, man, I appreciate the things he brought to our company about this. We've got others in the company God's using to emphasize this. Let's keep on going. What do you say? Let's not be settled and satisfied and say, you know, well, we've got a little bit, praise the Lord. Let's just keep on reaching.
Yes.
Have you looked in the book of Acts lately? There's more.
There's more.
I said there's more.
Amen.
And the Word of God, James 5, prophesies even more than the book of Acts.
Yeah. Right.
The Old Testament prophets prophesied more than the book of Acts. Yes. The glory of the latter house would be greater than the former.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we need to reach.
Yes.
Brother Roberts being here the last few days, it's just like, yeah, he's sitting there preaching. I'm going, you know, let's go. Anybody with me on that? Anybody? Whoa, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, but here he said, and this is in 2 Timothy 2:2, we read in verse number 1, well, let's just read verse number 2. The things that thou hast heard of me, Paul is speaking here, the things you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Commit thou to faithful men. Now, what we see here is, before we address that, let me say something here. He's talking about passing things on from one let's say generation to another generation. Paul is like a generation of the move of God. He's an elder. God raised him up, and he became a leader in the things of the Spirit, things of God. Of course, wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament. But and so he's passing this on to Timothy, his spiritual son. And he says, well, I've passed it on to you, and what you've received, pass it on. In other words, when God didn't give things to our elders, God didn't give things to the previous generation of men of the Spirit. Men of the Spirit. I'm not interested in head preachers or, psychology preachers, or I'm talking about men of the Spirit. Men of the Spirit. God didn't give what he gave to them, those men of the Spirit, those fathers in the faith. Those individuals that we recognize as having been confirmed by the Holy Ghost, having been it's been demonstrated that God raised them up. They have the authority of God. They have the honor of God on them. God used them. God confirmed their ministry, signs and wonders, and so forth. God didn't raise up that generation of people of the Spirit to put what moved through their ministry behind a glass, a box, like you would find an artifact of a society that was here, 300 years ago or something, and put it in a box and just put lights on it and look at it and say, wow, oh, those people, look what they had and all that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God didn't move through them so that we could just put it in a box and look at it. He gave it to them to pass on to us. Hello? He gave it to them to establish landmarks in our lives that would serve to guide and orient us in the things of the Spirit, and as we walk by faith, to continue to build on the foundation they laid. Can you see what I'm talking about? It's not something that we just, in other words, we're not museum keepers here. We are pioneers. They were pioneers in the things of the Spirit. We're to take what they gained for us, what they learned from the Spirit, and we're to continue to build on that and continue to reach for more. Not less, more. 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 We're going as the church from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Hallelujah. We're not decreasing. What some people today call progress and increase is actually regression. It's back into fleshly things. It's back into mental ministry. It's back into doing it by efforts of the flesh. I said it's going backwards. But we are to maintain at least the ground they gave us and keep on building on it. It's sort of like they laid the foundation. Paul talked about laying a foundation. It's like they laid the foundation. We're not to tear that foundation up, go over here, and because of pride and us having to have something that we came up with, build something, totally do away with that foundation, come over here and start our thing.
God didn't give it to them so that it could just be in that generation and then fall away. He gave it to them to pass on to us so that we can build on it and pass it on to whoever's after us. Although, I'd rather not pass it on. I'd rather get this thing done. How about that? But whatever, we're going to keep passing it on. Just keep going until. Don't make me preach in here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Practicing the honor for our generals in the faith, those that have pioneered before us, practicing honor for them and what God gave them would fix so many things in the body of Christ. Would fix things. If we just got this right, it would fix it. It would allow a greater move of the Spirit. Hello? Because that's a key to it. Here's what I've learned about honor. Whatever you don't honor, let me say it this way. Whatever you honor, you draw to yourself. Whatever you fail to honor, you stand to lose.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Many today, what they're doing is holding a big, to me, I mean, people that see things spiritually, people that today are saying, this is the way, we want to go this way, this is the way. To me, they're holding a great big flag out that says, disrespectful. They do not honor, they do not regard what men of the Spirit, whole eras of the move of the Spirit were brought into the body of Christ by some of these men obeying God in order to get some of these things established that now they're wanting to move away from.
Come on.
Not here, not us. I said not here, not us.
Right.
Hallelujah. And so what we fail to honor, we stand to lose. Now, I'm not saying that because we don't honor it. I'm just saying let's keep on reaching. Let's keep on being more honorable. And so we got to get this right. We are getting it right, but let's keep on getting it right. Can you see what I'm saying? So that's one of the things that as I've just spent time with God on this, that he's talking to me about the move of the Spirit and the honor of God on us to move amongst us. You know, he's honoring us when he moves amongst us. He's saying, you reverence me. You welcome me. You honor me. So I'll go where I'm honored.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, that's the honor of God. So when we study honor and look at honor in the Bible, one of the things we have to recognize is that it's impossible. Tell your neighbor, he didn't just make that up. It's scriptural. It's impossible. It's impossible to honor God without honoring the people he uses.
That's right.
These men, I mean, we're not just talking about like the Brother Hagin's, the Summeralls and all the Oral Roberts and all these men. We're not just talking about them. But even before that, you know, all the way back. People say, well, I honor God, but you know. Well, honor for God means you honor God wherever you find him.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Amen.
I was reading one time, you know, there in Matthew 10, it talks about there in that verse where it talks about, if you know, they receive you, they receive me. You know, Jesus sent them out and he said, if they receive you, they receive me. And whenever they receive me, they receive the one that sent me. And he said, he that receives a prophet, in the name of a prophet, have a prophet's reward. And then a righteous man, have a righteous man's reward, even a child, you know, so forth and so on. You can look at that in different ways. You could look at that as three different individuals, anybody serving God. You could look at that as the same person received three different ways. A man could come and minister to our church or wherever we're from or something. He could stand in the office of the prophet, but we don't recognize it and we won't get the office of the prophet.
Right.
If we don't honor it, we won't get that office. So he's a prophet and a righteous man maybe, but we only get the righteous man, you know. You know, but or you could look at it this way. I was reading it the other day and the Lord kind of showed it to me this way. Wherever you find God, honor him. If it's in a child, honor him. If it's just another believer, they're, you know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
Just wherever you find him.
Amen.
And the thing about God is he dwells in people.
That's right.
People become a visitation of God.
Amen.
Ministers. that God sends. They become a visitation of God. And to say I honor God, but don't honor that visitation, don't honor that individual, impossible. Tell your neighbor, he didn't say that lightly. It's impossible. The Bible shows us plainly when we receive the ones he sends, we're receiving him. Romans 13:7 talks about give honor to whom honor is due, or pay honor to whom honor is due. In other words, there's some people that are due honor. Even our leaders today, they're due honor. We're to recognize them. Hello? And so they gave these things, the things that these went before us, passed on to us, they gave them to us to serve as a guide to orient us in spiritual things. And they pass it on to us to live it out every day. Not, like I said, to put it in a box like in a museum. We're to steward it in such a way that that is passed safely to the next generation. Number one, operate it in our generation. I'm not one to pass that by. But I'm just simply saying what we deliver to the next generation is going to tell everybody how honorable we were to the previous generation. It should pass to the next generation in an unaltered form, only increased. Amen. Hallelujah. Hello. But what God is doing today is built on the foundation of what men of the Spirit have done in yesteryear, in previous generations. If we don't honor what God did in the previous generation, we're basically disqualifying ourselves from the honor of being used in this generation. I want the honor of God on me to where he can say, I'm pleased, I'll use him, I'll anoint him. And that's more than, there's a lot to that. You realize just good character and everything. There's a lot more to that, being honorable to God. But the thing I wanted to say is that I don't want to disqualify myself by taking what I receive, adulterating it. Hello? Corrupting it. Mixing man's ideas or theologies or, you know, mental stuff in with it. And passing it on mixed up. Amen? That's called regression. That's going backwards. We're to go from glory to glory. Hallelujah. I looked up the word regression today in the dictionary. In fact, even the English dictionary, whoever's unsaved that wrote that, even in there they wrote backslide. Backslide. Hey, I don't want to backslide. There's more than one way to backslide. Hello? So, a man that doesn't honor his previous, his fathers in the faith, you might put it that way. If he doesn't honor that, he disqualifies himself from being used and having the honor of God in this generation. Now listen, men might praise him, but I'm not talking about man's praise. I'm talking about the honor of God. You do realize, of course, heaven's going to look a whole lot different than down here. Just everybody that's the biggest and the wellest knownest and all of that stuff, you know, they're not going to necessarily be the most honored in heaven. Amen. It's pride. Hello. I'll be out of the way just so in case you don't like me. I'll be out of the way in a few minutes. But it's pride. Tell your neighbor, ouch. That needs something new just because it originated with us. That I'm the father of. Before you're a father, you're a son. I said, before you're a father, you're a son. And you let daddy spank you and teach you and train you. And hello. I love watching Pastor Nancy this morning, helping us identify the move of the Spirit. Okay, you got a word of knowledge of this. I love that. Anyone that's offended to that, they're not honorable. That's how you get the honor of God. Okay, thank you, thank you. I'll receive that. Help me, Pastor, help me. Am I preaching all right? So I want to talk a little bit about this tonight. The reason we're drawn to this ministry, this is one thing I just love about this ministry. A lot of things I love about this ministry, but is that they honor the previous moves of God so much. I don't necessarily claim to be a what do you call it, a church historian. But Pastor Nancy loves what God did in the past so much, she's studied all these things. She's interested. Hallelujah. That's the honor of God, isn't it? That's why we're drawn to this ministry. They carry honor for those landmarks that were set in our lives by previous men of God, previous generations. And it's an honor. It is honorable to do that. So let's look at some verses. You might want to just write these down. I don't necessarily want to take time to look at all of them. But Deuteronomy 29:29. Brother Hagin used to talk about that verse. We often quote it. Maybe didn't even go and turn and look at it. Because he was just talking many times because of the stories he would tell about, you know, praying for someone or minister someone and couldn't get it for them, and then they'd die. He'd say, well, you know, the Bible says the secret thing belongs to the Lord. He'd quote this verse, Deuteronomy 29:29. And so I guess I've turned to it, looked at it years ago, but Brother Hagin always quoted it. I thought, well, I know he's quoting it, and so I'll just take his word for it. But it goes on. Listen to the whole verse. The secret thing belongs to the Lord, but those things which are revealed belongs to us, period. And the next generation just got to figure it out for themselves, start all over again. No, it belongs to us and to our children forever. Forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So what God's saying is, how many of you know, we read in the Bible, for example, that God is a multi-generational God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And he told Abraham, teach it to your children. Teach what I tell you to your children. So what he gives to one generation, he's not just thinking of that generation. He's thinking of that getting into the earth and the next generation taking it further and further and further and further. He's a multi-generational God. You know, people that are so-called in our modern day, in the church world I'm talking about, they call themselves progressive. You know, we're progressing beyond that and so forth. The problem is they moved away from the foundation of it. You can't progress in building a house or a building if you build a foundation and then you go over here and try to keep on doing something. You're not progressing.
Amen.
You're regressing. So in the name of what they call progressing, what they are actually doing is, because they have in their mind, you know, we don't look to the past. Well, we understand that there's some truth to that, but we've got to understand while we're reaching for those things ahead. Remember the Bible said, what is it, Jude 1:3, I believe. He said, contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You have to know what was once delivered to you to contend for that, to go further with it. And you know, verses like this, you know, Hebrews, what is it, 2:1 or something like that. I don't know if I can quote the whole verse, but it talks about not letting those things slip. Giving more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. That's not just forgetting. You know, we read that verse, forgetting what's behind. He's not talking about the foundation of what was laid into our lives when he said forget what's behind, or else he shouldn't have told Timothy what he said here. What you've received on me, pass it on. And so I think that some today have misunderstood some things. Are you with me? Take, for example, what Jesus said in Luke 2:49. He said, I must be about my Father's business. There's a lot of ways you could look at that. We understand there's different ways you could look at that. But the way I saw it when I was thinking about this, the Lord woke me up at 4:30 this morning and started talking to me about this. I saw it this way. I'm not about my own plan. I'm about His plan.
Yes, sir.
And what His plan, the way His plan comes into the earth is through spiritual fathers passing it on to sons.
Amen.
Of course, Jesus gave it to His disciples, but they kept passing it on. And we must be about those who have gone before us business. Hallelujah. So with that in mind, we've got to recognize that there are spiritual landmarks that have been put into our lives. There's a verse in Proverbs 22, I believe, I don't remember how the verse, didn't bring it up here tonight, but it talks about, remove not the old landmarks which your fathers have set. That's a verse referring to, you know, in that day, if one generation passed a farm that they had cultivated on to the next generation, the way the next generation knew which part, what, you know, where the borders were on their farm was you know, like a pile of rocks over there and the big tree over here and the line goes from there to there, you know. Some sort of, you know, landmarks of some kind. Maybe they drive something into the ground, but usually it's probably just some sort of, you know, over by that clump of trees or something like that. Well, then whenever the territory was passed on from one generation to the next, they knew exactly where the lines were. And so what he said there was, don't remove the old landmarks which your fathers have set. If you're a farmer and I'm a farmer and I'm next to you and we've got a border between us, our farms are right beside each other, and in the middle of the night, that pile of rocks over there that marks the line, if I get up in the middle of the night and move it 100 yards this direction, I have stolen from you.
That's right. Yeah.
I have taken part of your farm.
Right.
Come on. Come on.
And these people that are saying, you know, what previous generations have said, they're throwing their stuff in the trash and saying, we're beyond that now. You know, that was generation. They're stealing from us.
Right.
Not us. We're not going to let them steal from us. But the people that are listening to them, they're stealing from them. They're robbing the body of Christ. The devil's in that. We know who the thief is. Hello? When another way of looking at landmarks, that verse says don't remove the landmarks. Another way of looking at landmarks is, like, for example, let's say you don't know where I live, and I said, hey, come on out to our home, you know, or something like that, and enjoy a meal or something. And then you go, okay, where do you live? And I would say, okay, here's how you get there. And you go down this road, and you turn right, and then you're going to see a red barn there. You're going to just right after that, you turn right. And then, you know, when you get to a T in the road, you got to turn left. Because there's a you know, some other landmark I'll give you, you know.
Yeah.
You see a brown horse out in the pasture, you know, or something like that. And I'll give you different pointers.
Yeah.
And what those landmarks are, whenever I say turn left at the right or at the red barn or whatever, I'm telling you, when you are driving your car to my house, when you get to that red barn, that red barn serves to orient you. You know now where you are. You know now where you are compared to where you should be. If you go past it, you know you missed it. Amen. And that those landmarks I give, they serve to orient you. That you know how to get where you're going. Hey, whenever we're moving in the Holy Ghost, pastors, have you ever had something like this happen? You're moving in the Holy Ghost and you're sensing God wants to do something, but I'm not sure right now. You know what to do. And all of a sudden you hear Pastor Nancy's voice.
Yeah.
I don't mean audibly, but I'm just saying you just remember something she said.
Yeah.
I had it happen this afternoon.
Yeah.
I remember something she said. I'm like, yeah, thank you, Lord. I remember that.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Help me tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so that's a landmark. Whenever they spoke those words into our life and they went into our heart, that is a landmark in our life. And when we get to a point to where we need that, the Holy Ghost says, remember what they said? And we go, okay, now this is the way I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And then the anointing of the Spirit gets in manifestation, manifests greater and in a greater way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm interested in being skillful, aren't you? And so go over with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. When I talked about earlier, in fact, 1 Samuel 2 is fine. When I spoke earlier about the honor of God, and that the way that this verse will give us more understanding of this, the way we get the honor of God, and that the honor of God includes, having the honor of God on us, includes our honor for Him and those that go before us, this verse will explain the connection to that here. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read this in verse number 30. Let me find it myself. I didn't even turn to it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going from glory to glory. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. This is whenever the prophet, he was the high priest, Eli. He was. He had two sons in the ministry. I don't know if I pronounce their name, something anyway. Doesn't matter. But they were abused. They were priests under him. Daddy's the high priest. They're two priests under him. And they start abusing the priest's office with handling money wrong and immorality and things. And daddy wasn't doing the right thing about it. You know, he just slapped him on the wrist a little bit, but he wasn't doing the right thing. He wasn't removing them because they weren't repenting. So God sends a prophet to him, to Eli, and he says several different things about whenever he had called him and so forth. I appeared to your house in verse 27, and basically he talked about the call he had given him to this ministry. And he said, you've kicked at it down in verse 29 and so forth. He's talking about him not dealing with his sons. Verse 30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The last phrase is what has just been ringing on the inside of me. Them that honor me, I will honor. Who's talking? God's talking. So he's saying there is an honor that comes from me. There's an honor that comes from me. And he said, if you want this, honor me. Amen. Brother Joel's book has a statement in it. He has that book on honor, such a blessing. There's a statement in there he made that honor's reward is honor. God will reward us being honorable. Honoring God in everywhere you find him. How many of you know in his word that's honoring God? Everywhere you find him. But he's in people. He's in visitations that God raises up to a generation. And he says, honor me and I'll honor you. In other words, the reverse of that, he ended up saying, those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We think of the word despise like last year, we had a freezer out in the garage and everything was fine until my wife said one day, go out and get to me some of those deer steaks. We want to make some food. And so I went out there to get it. I lifted up the lid and an aroma came out of that freezer that, I mean, it would knock a buzzard off a gut wagon. You know what I'm talking about? I was like, whoa. The freezer, you know, whatever, blew up or it hadn't been on for a couple of weeks. We hadn't been in it, didn't know it. My wife had kept saying for about a week and a half, she said, you can check under that shelf over there that you built. There's a dead mouse over there or something. I'm like, nah, you know, we found the dead cow, the whole cow. And so, but anyway, I mean, it make you gag. It's like disgusting. It's like, you know, and so I'm like, what am I going to do with that? Okay, just close the lid, take it to the dump. Except the guy at the dump said, what's in there? I said, meat. He said, spoiled meat? I said, yes, sir. I'm just going to put it right here. And he said, no, you're going to take that spoiled meat out and you're going to put it over here. And then you put the freezer over here. I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. So I had these plastic gloves on and I go, terrible, disgusting, terrible, yuck. When God says here, they that despise me, that's what we think of. God, I don't want you in my life cursing God and all that. But if you look at the Bible definition of despise, that's not what it means. Remember the Bible said that Esau despised his birthright. Did he say, disgusting, it stinks? Is that what he said? No, he just failed to see the value of it. At a time of fleshiness, he just failed to see and appreciate the value of it. That's what honor means, to value something. It's a treasure. We hold it dear. It's precious. We regard it. If it's somebody that's speaking in the body of Christ, speaking as a visitation to God of God for us in our generation, we regard it. We listen to the words. Yes. We let that voice speak into our lives. Yes. And we orientate our lives in the revelation of what they're saying. Yes. I'm not talking about something off the top of their head. I'm talking about the revelation of spiritual things. Yes. We're on the right page. Everybody's on the same page here, right? So whenever we see that, if we just fail to see the value of it, you know, here's one way to manifest that, just fail to show up. You know, that's called despising. It's a much different way of looking at it than the way we think of despising. So when God says, those that despise me, they just brush aside what was said by that visitation. And we're moving on. Listen, preacher, if you don't sound like Brother Hagin, you don't sound like Dr. Dufresne, you don't sound like Pastor Nancy, it's an honor issue.
That's right. Yeah,
that's it.
It's an honor issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello? Well, that went over real big. So, these voices of the previous generations, this ministry has highly honored them.
Yes.
That's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. God's saying, there's a place I can put my honor on. I can honor them with what I want to do in the earth. We're not the only ones. But listen, there's going to be more and more that God's going to say, he's going to bring them here to see why.
Yes, sir.
Why? See, it's not just seeing what God does. How many of you remember in the Old Testament that said Israel knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways?
Right.
People are going to come and say, what are their ways that makes God move like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes.
Not just see, it's time to get beyond just wanting God to do this and do that, but learn his ways.
Right.
This is one of his ways. Honor him. Reverence him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this ministry regards them. That's why I so appreciate, we're safe here. And whenever she brings in somebody like, Brother Copeland or these like Dr. Roberts. I call him Doctor. I think he wants to be called something else. But those are men. Listen, let me say something to the younger generation. I'm going to pop the clutch and get out of the way. Younger generation, it would do you well to find who stayed the closest to the previous generation of the men of the Spirit. Who got the greatest amount from them? Who stayed with them and was faithful to them? Who got impartations because of that honor for them? And who God is honoring because they are honoring those impartations. And they're saying, that's my orientation for my life and ministry.
Yeah.
You would do well to not look for something new and sparkly. Everybody likes to get something new, don't we? New. It's got new shine on it and everything. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're not necessarily looking for something new. It's always fresh and new in the sense of it's always, God's always renewing it, but it's not always, it's not something that we've never heard before.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so what God's saying here is those that honor me, they will be honored. The spirit of the world today is not to honor the generations in past. Amen. People think that because they're forward thinking, they're progressing. We'll just forget it. We have that in our culture today and in our own nation. Just forget our founding fathers. Just, all that. Dishonor. That's not what made this country great. What they're trying to bring in is not going to make this country greater. It's honor for what God blessed at the beginning of this country that will continue to make this country greater. Hello? They say they're forward thinking, but what they're really doing is they're substituting brass for gold. Amen. I don't remember the passage, Pastor, you shared. I think somewhere on the road I heard you share it, Ezra 3 maybe, where it talks about the rebuilding of the temple after the Solomon's temple had been destroyed. And the new generation came back and was rebuilding it, and they laid the foundation, and they're going, wow, isn't this wonderful? And they called them the ancient men. That's the older generation. They saw it, and they started weeping. Because they had so much more than what they're seeing. Remember that, Pat? That is so powerful. It speaks volumes for our day. They had progressed in the things of the Spirit so much further, that older generation, than what the newer generation had. They had progressed in prosperity a lot more than this new temple had. That old temple was overlaid with gold and so forth. They had progressed past that, but this new generation is regressing. Amen? And so what he says here, whenever he says, they that honor me, how many of you know part of that honor, the way we've been saying it to you tonight, Part of honoring God could include, let's put it this way, they that honor me, I will honor. Those that don't move the old landmarks. Yeah, can you see now the way we said that? Those that don't move the old landmarks, I'll honor them. I'll honor them. Remember the vision Dr. Dufresne had when he went to heaven? The Spirit of God caught him up. He was, I believe, at the throne of God, laying prostrate before the throne of God, most likely. And he said that the God spoke to him. He said he believed it was Jesus. Spoke to him and said that tell the pastors that are staying with Word and Spirit that to be faithful, to be faithful. There's coming a transfer out of these flesh churches. Be faithful. Be faithful.
Yeah.
Well, I honor that.
Amen.
I said, I honor that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. So we'll have the honor of God because of that. Now, you won't have the honor of God. You may have the honor of men if you're doing something different. But they may celebrate you and so forth. But the honor of God, let me say it in reverse. The honor of men is so cheap. When church history, this phase of church history is written, it will be a footnote of embarrassment. Okay, that went over real big. It will be a footnote. It will not be in the main body, the big part of the story. It'll be, there was regression for a while, footnote A. People were saying you don't even need to get saved. Preachers were preaching, you know, you don't want to preach salvation because, you know, you might offend somebody. Footnote A down at the bottom in small print that we don't even want to talk about because it's embarrassing. And then, but here's the main story. Here's what God did in the move of the Spirit is up here in the main story. Hallelujah. 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 Now, go over to John 5:44. I quoted this passage, but look at it real closely. This verse has been just ringing to me. My church knows I've been preaching on it, but I meant to say five. Chapter 5 of John, verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God? There's that term, the honor that comes from God. We saw that in 1 Samuel 2. I will honor. This is not a man talking. God said, I will honor those who honor me. So there's an honor that comes from God. And notice he said, how can you believe if you're looking for the praises of men, the applaud of men? Amen. You and I as ministers, we should go back and regularly visit the Fredonia Revelation, I believe is what was put on that series because she got it up there at your church or something. Pastor Nancy's series on the Fredonia Revelation about the difference between numbers and fruit. We're not opposed to numbers. You understand this is going to grow. But we're not compromising to appeal to men's flesh in order to get that. Amen. So, so men will praise you and so forth in certain things that you might do, but that is so cheap. Remember Jesus said, beware of men. They'll say, blessed is the way it happened to him. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And what was it, a week later or something like that? Crucify him, crucify him. It's short-lived. That's what the Lord said to Dr. Dufresne in heaven that time. He said, the sowed of the flesh will reap corruption. In other words, this is going to pass away. This is going to pass away. Right now, it might not look like, you know, But what we've been seeing is going to pass away. That's the word of God. So, like I said, it's very cheap. The honor of men is very cheap. It's very temporary. But the honor of God, oh, Jesus. That's what I'm hungry for. Not only to understand how to get that, I have to understand how to honor him. And we're talking about some of that tonight. It's a big subject. Can't get it all in. But we want to know how to honor him. We want to be honorable. Honorable means he's able to honor. He's able to use, recognize, anoint, move in our midst, so forth and so on. So we want to learn how to honor, be honorable, and then we want to learn to better. And this is what the Lord really was talking to me about. Better honor those that have gone before me. And he spoke specifically to me about Pastor Nancy. I'm reaching for that. My wife and I are reaching for that. I don't believe... I'm not trying to draw attention to a person, but there's more greatness in her than sometimes we're... than we're acknowledging, maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Doctor, you just...
Not, yeah. Yeah.
Recognize yeah. greatness.
People don't recognize greatness.
Yeah. Yeah. Much, so much in
them. Yeah. So, and the Lord's talking to me about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, yes. I just, the point I'm making is, well, let me say it this way. Let me say it this way. In fact, I'll just go to the verse.
Yeah.
So you can't get mad at me. Go over to Hebrews here. Chapter number, verse 7, I mean, chapter 7, I believe. Let me see if I'm right. This ain't in my notes. He's talking, in Hebrews 7, he's talking about bringing the tithe. And he talks about Abraham bringing the tithe to Melchizedek. You remember that?
Yeah.
And Melchizedek being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it talks about verse number 4 here. Let's just start. We won't read this whole passage, but I'll skip through a few verses. Hebrews 7, 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. In other words, Abraham was a patriarch. He's a father in the faith. And he recognizes greatness in a man. And because he recognized greatness in this man, he brought his tithe. And the Bible says, consider how great this man was. He's talking about great in the spirit. You realize when we talk about greatness, we're not talking about the person. We're talking about the greatness of God in them. The deposits of God in them. Especially those that honor those that have gone before them to get those deposits. And so here it talks about this man, how great he was in chapter number 7, verse number 4. Let's go down to verse 6. It says, He whose descent is not counted from them. I'm kind of jumping in the middle of this. He's talking about Melchizedek didn't come from the priesthood of the law, you remember. He whose descent is not counted from them, Melchizedek, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. And the Lord spoke to me about this, and he said this to me. He said, my honor on your ministry, life and ministry, is not dependent on how many people you have following your ministry, you know, that you're being a blessing to or that you're able to minister to or whatever. He said, my honor on your ministry is dependent on your honor for those over you.
Amen.
And he started talking to me about that. And he said this, he said, the blessing goes, the honor goes up, and the blessing comes down.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly right.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Honor goes up and the blessing comes down.
Amen.
That's what he said here. Abraham honored up. And the blessing came down through that mantle on those that we honor. Now somebody said, well, you know, you're saying don't give to the poor. I didn't say that. There's different kinds of giving.
Yeah.
This is honor giving.
Yeah.
Hello? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have discovered there's things in my life that aren't there because of my individual faith. I have discovered there's things in my life that are there because I honor people. And I'm not perfect. You understand. We're all, I'm like, sometimes I look at myself like, come on, get it together. You know what I'm talking about. So I'm not trying to set myself up. I'm just simply saying this is true about all of us. It's true about all of us. I recognize some things in my life. I didn't get a handle on it because, you know, I used my faith and, you know, bless God, I persevered. I got a handle on it because I said, I sure appreciate you feed me. I'm going to stick with you. And listen, I got my mind renewed here and I got some help here. And I learned how to flow in my mantle here. And I value it and I show up and I spend money to be where I need to be. Now listen, that is faith. You understand, you can't separate faith from honor. Where you find one, you'll find the other. But it wasn't faith in the way we think of it so many times. It wasn't like I believe, I receive kind of thing. Hello? What did we say at the beginning? Honor draws invaluable things to you. We know faith does, but faith and honor flow together. Listen, they're Siamese twins. They're joined at the hip. You find one, you're going to find the other.
Yeah.
You can't. There is no such thing as a man believing God that's not an honorable man.
Amen.
Oh, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the verse we just read.
Uh-huh.
How can you believe? That's what Jesus said. John, not Hebrews, but the one back in John, the previous one. How can you believe which seek the honor of men? Don't seek the honor of God.
Yeah.
Faith people, they want God's honor. They're after God's, what God has for them. They don't care about what people think.
No.
That's what I loved about Dr. Roberts while he was here. He don't give a rip.
Yeah.
I like that. That's my kind of style. Hallelujah. So you'll never be a faith person if you seek man's approval. Saul, King Saul in the Old Testament, disobeyed God because he was trying to please the people. Remember why the bleeding of the sheep? Remember that? I mean, why was he dishonorable? And why was he disobedience? Is because he wanted to please people. He wasn't interested in pleasing God who had spoken through his spiritual father.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're learning. I'm learning. I'm reaching for more. I'm not satisfied with where I am and the honor that I'm showing. Let's get this thing done. What do you say?
Yeah.
I hope it's all right to say it. Pastor Nancy's been putting it up, you know, sending it out to us. So it is. I'll say it because she's been putting it out publicly. They're believing God for an airplane. Let's get this thing done.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Believing God for the academy. Believing God for some things to pay off this church building. Let's get it done. Let's not just stand back and watch them believe. Hallelujah. And so, are you still there? Are you happy, mad, glad? What do you... Tell me to pop the clutch and I'll do better. if you never talk about the people that God has used in your life in the previous generation, in your preaching, and it doesn't sound anything like them, you don't recognize them, it's an honor issue. What are you embarrassed about? What are you embarrassed about? I have preached Pastor Nancy's sermons in front of her. Down in Brazil one time. I got so blessed out of some things she was sharing about receiving correction. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't Brazil. It was in Peru, I believe it was. Receiving correction. I got it big on my heart down there, and I'm like, I can't preach that. Pastor Nancy's sitting right there in front. But I couldn't get away from it, so I just used a few different illustrations and said it myself.
Come on, that's right. We all do that.
Hey, there's no copyright on that sermon that I could find anywhere. Amen. There's no embarrassment in that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, the Jews could tell that Peter, James, and John had been with Jesus. Somebody ought to be able to tell. You were out there at that Holy Ghost meeting this week, weren't you? You were out there in that Holy Ghost meeting, weren't you? You've been listening to Pastor Nancy's services and Dr. Dufresne's service. I hear
Amen.
There's a sound in your voice.
Amen.
People used to say that about me and Brother Hagin, and I used to get embarrassed. Then I thought about it. That's better than sounding like this one and that one. And I said, wait a minute. That's an honor.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So 1 Samuel 2:30, one way you honor God, like I said, is you honor your spiritual lineage. That's the way you get the honor of God on your ministry. Amen. And so there's deposits in these men that have gone before us, and those deposits have been placed to various degrees in us. But God has raised up a leadership, a ministry here that God has called us to feed on.
Yeah.
Because I believe the greatest deposit if I can just say this, I mean, I'm just trying to share my heart. I don't want to. The greatest deposit in this room of some of the previous generations is Pastor Nancy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Let's just chuck the corn. What do you want?
Come on.
Hallelujah. So that's what was in my heart tonight. Trust y'all don't get mad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If it sounds selfish to you that a minister would preach on honor and a ministry, preach on honor for his ministry or something like that, you ain't been very fur yet down the road.
Yes, sir.
We don't preach on these things because as ministers we need something. A true man or woman of God, they look to God as their source.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Come on.
And so forth and so on. Even though they know, remember what we've read over there in Romans 13, 7, they know honor is due. Remember, render honor to whom honor is due. Sometimes ministers know honor is due, but if it's not given, they don't demand it. Because they're real. They're not frauds. They're not, hello. They preach on it. They preach the word and teach on it. But they're not going to go home with you and say, now here's what you need to do about it. Yeah, right. Amen. Because they are honorable.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But the thing about this is, we don't preach on this because ministers need this. We preach on this because you need this.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah.
I preach on it sometimes in my church because I'm endeavoring to get a better hold on it so I can practice it more. I really believe what the Lord said. He said, the honor for you on your ministry is dependent on the way you honor those over you. So if I'm preaching it to the people so they do it to me, that means I don't even believe my own, what God even said to me.
Amen.
Remember over there in 1 Kings, well, actually, I guess it's 2 Kings 4, or actually 2 Deborah 4. So, such a blessing. She gets more out of those verses than I ever knew was in there. Anybody with me on that? But that great woman of Shunem saw Elisha passing by, and you remember it said that she said to her husband, I perceive this is a great man of God. In other words, if we're going to honor right, we've got to perceive right, don't we? We've got to recognize greatness. We've got to see deposits in people that the world doesn't see. You know, the world honors things that God doesn't even see. God honors things that the world doesn't even see. Totally different values. What's important to God is not important to a lot of people.
Yeah.
What's important to the world, God doesn't even know it happened.
Yeah.
Hollywood has recognitions of one another, these big ceremonies. God never even knew it happened. You tell God it happened, he goes, oh, really? I wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's not the honor of God.
No, it's not.
And that's happening in church circles, too.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. Yes, sir.
But back to that first, that second Kings there. We read there that whenever she recognized greatness in this man, she said to her husband, let's build basically like an addition onto the house and make a place for him to come by and stay. And so it was an honor thing, wasn't it? It was sowing into that anointing and so forth. But here's what I want you to see. The Bible said that she constrained him. Next time he passed by, she constrained him to eat bread. That means, if you look it up, to prevail upon him. Not in a rude way, but just, hey, we really want to be a blessing to you, and so forth and so on. And, you know, and so it wasn't the man of God that, you know, prevailed on them. It was them prevailing on him. We should not wait for somebody to suggest that we do something. We should have that in our hearts. We're looking for opportunities. And whenever opportunities aren't there, we create opportunities. And look, it's not just about finances. You recognize that honor is a lot like, what verse over, I think it's in Isaiah, I had to look it up. It says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's not all about all the outward things that we do. It comes from in here. You recognize people can do it in the flesh, and it's just, it doesn't have the right tenor and ring to it. It's just, you can tell, you know, if you listen to your heart, it's, well, you know, whatever. Hello? But when it's genuine, it comes out of your heart will actually rise up in you and compel you to do something.
Right.
constrain you to do something. Am I preaching all right?
Yeah.
It'll insist on it.
Yeah.
Hello? And it'll insist. There's honor is like a restraining force also that keeps you from doing certain things. Let's say this. It keeps you from saying certain things. You know, any old carnal person can find a fault in any of us.
Come on.
You don't get a wizzo button from God because, there's something there. I see something that wasn't perfect. I saw Pastor. You know, I've had some of our staff have seen me get in the flesh before. About getting angry about something, you know, getting mad. I had to go repent. You know, to walk out of that staff, I see a fault in Pastor. Honor in your heart will keep you from even going there in your
head. That's right. That's exactly right.
It'll keep the words in your home from ever being spoken. Any dishonorable word in your home is not permitted in your home.
That's right.
And there's only honor and there's only faith and there's only agreement. When we don't understand, we just say, well, they're being led and we support them. Amen. It doesn't take any spirituality whatsoever to find fault. Any old spiritual slouch can do it. Without a prayer life, without reading your Bible, you can just get up in the morning, get going on your day, get lazy spiritually. Any old spiritual slouch. It takes development. It takes discipline to walk in honor. I've learned this. Dishonor is of my flesh. Honor is of my new nature. My new nature, when I start rising up and properly showing honor, my new nature's like, that's down on the inside. It's like, that's right. That's right. But the flesh doesn't want to, because the flesh is selfish.
That's right.
The fleshly nature is selfish. It doesn't want to sow and give. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm just talking about honor. The fleshly nature might not want to get out of town and come to a meeting for a week or something like that.
Come on.
Oh, I'm tired. I've been busy.
Come on.
Amen. But honor will rise up on the inside of you and say, it'll constrain your flesh and it'll start compelling you to do some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on Facebook at Jay Eberle Ministries. Email us at info@eberleministries.org or call us at 319-366-2147. And remember, God prepares the man to fit the mantle, not the mantle to fit the man.